السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بإذن الله tonight I will try to finish the surah, Surah Maryam. And I believe we're up to verse number 73. But before I start, I want some confirmation, because if I skip an ayah or two, it's going to be until after Ramadan before I can make up. So 73 from the ayah, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ. Is that true, those who were following through? Abu Abdul Rahman. From 73, Mahang. I've got it from 73, but I just want to confirm. So from verse 73. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا بينات قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أي الفريقين خير مقاما وأحسن نديا. Translation of the meanings. And when our clear verses are recited to them, the disbelievers, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, which of the two groups is best position as regards to station? This is the translation briefly. What Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us here is the response of those indulged into luxury, those who have the splendor of this world from treasures and power. How do they react and how do they look at the truth when it's recited to them? Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that when the clear ayat are recited to them, they will reply, which of the two groups, meaning the kuffar, who have the splendor and have the might to a degree because of the station they have and the position, and or the Muslims who are in their eyes humiliated, who are poor, who are living in hiding, who cannot defend themselves, which of the two groups are better? We can see that they went on to evaluate the truth, not by rejecting it, but by looking at that which has got nothing to do with it. And that is, when the truth has been recited, they said, look at us and look at them. Who is better in position? Who is mightier? Who is greater? Who is more powerful? Who has the better position? So this is her way of the kuffar, especially those who have might and power and wealth. Their response is not by rejecting the truth and saying, nah, we can prove this truth to be wrong and we've got arguments that are sound that we can use. No. It's the argument of look at us and look at them. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it's important to understand that this evaluation from the kuffar is a repeated evaluation throughout times, even in our times today. When we look at the Muslims, who are upholding the truth and speaking it and standing firm, defending it, the response of the kuffar towards them is that look at them and look at us. Who is better? Who is greater? Fir'aun was like that too, by the way, in the past. So it's something repeated throughout the times. It happens before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It happened during, and it happened after. But to Allah Azza wa Jal, is this really a veil? Is this really a means, or is it a reason why the kuffar will be protected? And all this wealth, how did Allah Azza wa Jal go on about it? How did He look at it? How did Allah Azza wa Jal deal with it? He tells us,
وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا وَرِئِيًّا.
Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us after we hear what was said, He says, and how many generations have we destroyed before them who were better in wealth, goods, and outward appearance? So what did that avail them? What did that benefit them when the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla strikes? Where is their wealth today? And who inherited their wealth? And this is what we need to look at. At the end of the day, Allah Azza wa Jal, He made us accountable, not for our looks, not for our wealth in terms of how rich and how poor. No, He made us accountable to our deeds and beliefs. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal looks at. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, verily Allah Azza wa Jal does not look at your pictures, your faces, or your wealths, but He looks at your hearts and your actions.
قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدًّا.
Say, O Muhammad, whoever is in error, the Most Gracious will extend to him. Meaning, whoever is in the wrong, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase him in that, to extend him in that which he has, from his guidance, and from the wealth, and from the time.
حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَوْا مَا يُوعَدُونَ إِمَّا الْعَذَابَ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةَ فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَأَضْعَفُ جُنْدًا.
Until when they see that which they were promised, either the torment of the hour, they will come to know who is worse in position and who is weaker in forces. This is the answer to the question in verse number 73. Which is the one before, when they asked, who of us is better in position? The answer to that question was, Allah Azza wa Jalla saying, until they see the torment, then they will realize who has a better position, who has greater power, who has the might. And this is where the end is. Allah Azza wa Jalla here is directing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them the way of Allah Azza wa Jal that's repeated. And that is respite. Allah Azza wa Jal, at the end of the day, He is not ignorant to what the oppressors are doing. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُ. Do not think that Allah is unaware, He's ignorant to what the oppressors are doing.
إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ.
Verily, He delays them to the day in which they will die. The days where their eyes will turn over. Allah Azza wa Jal is directing him here to tell them that Allah Azza wa Jal, if he hasn't struck you yet, he will strike you sooner or later. The punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal is going to fall those who deny and those who oppress. Either sooner or later, either in this world by them being defeated and seeing how weak they are, such as what Allah Azza wa Jal did to the mushrikeen of Quraysh when they were defeated before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of him in Badr and finally with the conquest of Mecca, or at the end of both. And definitely when we say the end of both, that will also include those who were punished earlier. So in both cases, the end of both and the earlier, it's up to Allah to show it or not. But the point is, at the end of the day, they will come to realize it. The kuffar will come to realize this stance, this position. They will realize it. But they will realize it where the knowledge does not benefit the individual. And this is a dangerous fact, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And that is, knowing is beneficial where you have a chance to rectify, to change. That is when it's beneficial. Otherwise, where you have no chance, it's going to be knowledge which is not beneficial and it will lead to regret. Such as the state of the person who delays his repentance and insists on disbelief until he meets Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will come to realize, he will see, but what would the benefit be at that time? What benefit will he have at that time?
وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا.
And Allah increases in guidance those who walk aright. And the righteous good deeds that last are better with your Lord for reward and better for result. Again, this is where we can see a fact. And that is, being of those who are upright on the command of Allah Azza wa Jal is a reason why your guidance will be increased. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. And Allah will increase those who are guided and are who walk aright. He will increase them with guidance. And this is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal with the believers. He will allow for their belief to be a guide for them. He will allow for their belief to be a cause for why they see the truth and they are guided more and more. Every time an ayah was revealed to the Sahaba, Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. As for the believers, it increased them in iman. Why? Because they were upright previously, and them being upright allowed them to be more guided, increased in their iman. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has established the fact for us that iman increases. Your iman increases. And the reason why you are increased with your iman is to be someone who is upright on the command of Allah. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And the deeds that last, and the righteous good deeds that last. This refers to the actions that extend to the hereafter from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, such as the translation given to the, or explanation given to this by Rasulullah, where he said that it's Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar. And also, it's the other actions that would lead to continuous reward even after your death. This is what remains from you, from good deeds. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying the righteous good deeds that last are better with your Lord for reward and better for result. Better in reward and better as an ending. Better in reward and better as an ending. And here there is comforting from Allah Azza wa Jal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the believers. Comforting words that what is better than what the kuffar gain, and what is better than their splendor, and what is everlasting is the righteous good deeds, which is something you are capable of. And when the Sahaba, such as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and others came complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of their poverty, and they said, the rich people have went with the reward. They pray like we pray, and they have extra wealth that they can spend, while we don't. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed them to what they are able to win over them and to beat them with. And he directed them to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar, after their praise, 33 times each. Now we can see from this how Allah Azza wa Jal, firstly from the ayah, showed us how to look at things. Don't have your worldly scales, but have the hereafter scales. And also Rasulullah establishing that fact. We can see this. And this leaves the believer in a state where he never feels that he can't do more. We shouldn't give excuses to what happens around us. We shouldn't give excuses to the world. And wallah, the world around us is to be blamed. Allah Azza wa Jalla is directing us to ways and deeds and actions which you as an individual can perform and still have a return. Every one of us has that ability to open up an account with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every one of us has a welcome from Allah to invest with Him. Yes, you may not have the ability in this world to beat the kuffar or to be, you know, rich. But Allah has given you ways in which you can win and invest. And this is the way we should remember, this is what we should remember, my dear brothers.
أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا.
Have you seen him who disbelieved in our ayat and said, I shall certainly be given wealth and children if I will live again? I'll repeat it and I'll explain it. Have you seen him who disbelieved in our ayat, this Quran and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, he disbelieved and he said, I shall certainly be given wealth and children if I will be alive again. What happened, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he had some money owing to him by Al-As bin Wail. So he went to him and asked for it. He said, I will not give you this money until you disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he said, I will not disbelieve in him, even if I was to live and die. Al-As bin Wa'il replied by saying to him, if I was to be resurrected, if I was to die and to be resurrected, I will bring my children and I'll bring my wealth and I will give them to you at that time. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He's telling us about this man. What about him? Yes, he's a disbeliever. Thinking that, firstly, this before, prior to saying this, he's a disbeliever, and saying what he had said is disbelief. It's mockery. But what is it about him? Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us,
أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ عَهْدًا.
Has he known the unseen? Or has he taken a covenant from the most gracious Allah? Yani Allah has written us, How could he say such words? Does he know the unseen, what he's able to do then? Or has he got an agreement with Allah that when this happens, he can do this? Tayyib. What is the reality? What's the reality that we need to be aware of? What's the reality that he should have been aware of? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he tells us,
كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدًّا وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا.
Nay, we shall record what he says. We shall record what he says. And we shall increase his torment in the hell. And we shall inherit from him at his death all that he talks about from his wealth and his children. And he shall come to us alone. Yani this wealth, the true inheritor to it is Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal is swearing that we will write what he has said and we will increase him in torment and punishment and we shall inherit from him what he claims and he will come to us as an individual. As an individual whom no wealth and no children can avail him from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And by the way, this is the frightening thing about those who build hopes on materialistic things. The frightening fact is that no wealth and no child will really be his. In this world he might have a temporary possession, but the reality is he's not the real owner to all of it. And he spends a lifetime gaining it and working for it, not knowing that unless you put it forward to the hereafter and use it in the path that pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, then it will not avail you from Allah Azza wa Jal and from His punishment. And by the way, for the believer who spends it in the cause of Allah and raises his child to be the way Allah loves, there will be a protection for him and from the hellfire, unlike the kafir. For the believer, it is the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, اتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ. Protect yourselves from the hellfire. How? Even by, as part of a date. Even by a date. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us about the righteous man who raises three girls. How there will be a protection for him from the hellfire. And they asked, and two? And he replied, and two? And I'm not sure if he was asked about the one. From what I can recall, it was yes, but that's something yet to be confirmed due to my memory now not being accurate about it. But for sure he did say it about the raising of three. So yes, the righteous child is a means of increasing the reward and to be protected from the hereafter, from the hellfire, where it's done by a believer who feared Allah Azza wa Jal.
وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّا كَلَّا سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّا.
And they have taken for worship Aliha, gods besides Allah, that they might give them honor, power and glory, and also protect them from Allah's punishment. Meaning the kuffar took gods besides Allah. Why? They were hoping that they would seek glory and honor from these gods and protection from these gods. Nay, but they will deny their worship of them. You know, the gods will deny the right for them to be worshipped, and they also will deny their right to be worshipped. Both sides. They will deny the right to be worshipped. and become opponents to them on the day of resurrection. They will become enemies to each other. Whether it was a prophet that's been worshipped, he will deny it, of course, as we all know from what Allah has said about Isa, where Allah will question him and ask him, did you tell people to worship you? He will be an enemy to them. He will be a witness against them. And if it was a God who called, that's one example, if it was a prophet or an angel that's worshipped, they will deny it and be enemies. And even if it was from the kuffar, someone who called people to his worship or her worship, that person will also be an enemy and opponent to them. Because the amount of terror that will be seen on that day, and also because of the reality being now manifested.
أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَؤُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا.
See you not that we have sent the shayateen against the disbelievers to push them to do evil? And Allah Azza wa Jalla is directing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this fact, and to all of us, to the fact that the shayateen are inspiration to the kuffar. They are their source of motivation. Allah Azza wa Jalla is directing us to this. And this explains to us, my dear brothers, yani the plotting of the kuffar, and it explains to us their nature. It's that it's a nature that is very weak, because they have no protection from the shaitan, and they have no differentiation between the whispers of the shaitan and logic. You find that they will justify the whispers of the shaitan to be their logic. This is something very, very important to realize, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. As for the believer, yes, the shayateen inspire them. They try to inspire them. They whisper and they whisper. But they still have that light of iman that extinguishes the fire of evil and desire. They still have the light of iman to take over the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of disbelief, the darkness of evil. They do have the angels who will side by them and inspire them to do the good. They do have the guidance of Allah that will direct them to realize the whispers of Satan. They do have the protection if they seek it, unlike the kuffar.
فَلَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا.
So make no haste against them. We only count to them a limited number of days of their life, of this world, and delay their term so that they may increase in evil and sin. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, do not hasten against them. Yani, these people who are doing the falsehood and doing the oppression, their due time is near. And Allah is counting for them. They're going to come to that brick wall. They're going to come to the edge of the cliff that they were racing towards. And the faster they are going, the more they are coming towards greater destruction. The more they are increasing from their punishment. It's more like that person who happens to be in a very fast car, and he's in a road that's filled with the speed cameras and with the patrol. And he's surrounded from all directions. And every spin of the wheel he's got, it's counted against him and against him and against him and against him. The further you go, the greater the punishment and the greater the fine. And not only that, towards the end of the path, it's a cliff which is directing him directly into the hellfire. The faster he goes, the quicker he's coming towards his end. The faster he goes, the greater the sin. And this is the state of the kafir. The more he's doing the sin, the faster he's going with the sin, the more Allah is counting for him and counting and counting. And soon he will meet Allah with all these deeds which he'll be accountable for. Think of it like this, my dear brothers. Think of it like this. We might ask, where is the victory of Allah? Of course, we are the blame. Me and you. We are the problem. نعيب زماننا والعيب فينا وما لزمان عيب سوانا. We blame our time and the blame is in us. And our time has no problem but us. But really the question comes where the person is working in a path that pleases Allah. He doesn't see the end of the kafir in front of him, the oppressors. He doesn't see it. Those who are harming and oppressing, he's looking for it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, do not rush for it. Do not hasten for it. We're counting. Yes, you're afflicted. You're getting harmed. But don't think that we are going blind from it. We're counting this whole thing. The more he does, the greater his punishment. The more he does against you, and you are patient, and you are steadfast, and you are continuing in the path that pleases Allah, the greater your reward. فَلَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ So do not hasten against them. Do not hasten. We only count to them a limited number of days. We're counting. But the frightening thing, my brothers, who is the one counting? Allah. Allah. He's the one counting. Yani today, imagine it, taxation office is on your back. They're counting every dollar that goes into your account. Every single dollar you make, every single dollar you spend, they're watching. Let's say it. And they're telling you, we're going to audit you. We're watching you. We want you. How would you live? You won't live comfortably. You probably might live in a state of terror. Let's say Aziel's on her back. You pick up the phone, it's echoing. You open the door, someone's sleeping in the car with the. You drive down the road, you happen to do a U-turn, someone suddenly does a U-turn behind you. You walk in the shopping center and you don't notice it, but later someone tells you, did you know someone took a picture for you from up the second level? And you're walking and you're that man who is spotted in every direction. If he was to change his clothes, they will record it. He's changed his clothes. If he was to go to the bathroom, they record how many times they went to the bathroom. If he was to open up a book, they know what word. They're chasing him on the words that he's reading. It's frightening. But Allah is telling you, at the end of the day, He's counting for them too. Every step that they're taking, every movement they're taking, Allah's counting it to them. And this is something that it puts you at ease, puts you at rest. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ لَكِمْ They plot and Allah plots and Allah is the best of plots. You might think, Ya akhi, give me a break. Give me a break. What's the matter? But do you think Allah is going to give them a break? Let them not give you a break. Let it continue. You're doing everything right. You're a good citizen. You're a good man. But the point is, they're asking you. You think Allah is going to leave it alone? He's not. He's counting it by the days, by the seconds, by the moments. Every step every movement recorded. SubhanAllah. I was sitting down once, in one of the classrooms I was teaching children, and I joked with one of the children. I said, I'm going to talk to your father today. And I was serious. His mother. I said, I'm going to talk to your mum today. And I was actually serious. I said it in a way of joke, but I was serious, and I'm going to see her later on. And he said to me, yeah, and I'm going to have a chat to the principals at you. Little kid, I go, what are you going to tell him? And he said to me, I'm going to tell him what you just said now. It's kind of like, I know it's the word of an innocent child. You don't think about it. And voila. But you think to yourself, this weak creature who you now try to scare, he's coming around telling you, and you scare with my mom, I'll scare you with your boss. Does it make sense? And it's something, wallahi, it's amazing from a child. Very smart kid, wallahi. It's amazing. He looked at it, all right, you talk about my mom, I'll talk about your boss. You're employed by him, I'll have a chat with him. But subhanAllah, this mentality coming from a child shows you how, and it's something which you got to remember too. There's levels. And the greatest level of supervision, the greatest level of observation is the observation of Allah. The greatest level of accountability is the accountability with Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is where you got to remember, my dear brother and sister, that taking account severely against yourself is actually mercy to yourself. Why? Because if you leave it to Allah, He's going to take it. And if He does not pardon and forgive you at that time, you're gone. But when you were harsh on yourself and you made sure that you would rectify, it's a cause why you would lessen the problems and resin the evil. That's why Umar al-Khattab, he says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take yourselves into account before someone else takes you into account. وَزِنُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And weigh your deeds before it's weighed against you. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's telling us, so make no haste against them. We only count out to them a limited number of the days. These days, if they are short, it's to rid people quickly from a tyrant. If they are long, it's to increase the believers with mujahada, striving, and to increase them in reward, and to increase that person with sin, which will make him in a greater terror. And subhanAllah, think about it for yourself. The tyrants that are falling today, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the great blessing. Barak and Zain al-Haribin, and bi-idhnillah soon, those who are protested against. You think about it to yourself, ya akhi, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, and did you think Allah Azza wa Jalla the whole time wasn't taking into account what's happening? You think Allah Azza wa Jalla is not watching the whole thing? So the point is, let's remember this ayat. There's a day that's going to come. What is this day? Allah tells you what's going to happen on that day. إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّ. We're counting for them a limited number of days. We're counting for them the actions for that day. What's going to happen on that day? Allah, He tells you,
يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا.
The day we shall gather the muttaqoon, the pious, those who are conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who are protecting themselves from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal by doing the commanded, whatever they have been commanded with, and leaving the prohibited, preparing for the day that will meet their Lord. The muttaqoon, this is their description. Allah is saying, the day we shall gather the muttaqoon to the most gracious, like a delegation presented before a king for honor. Wafd. Like a delegation presented before a king. Why? For honor. My dear brothers, you see it on the TV when there's a delegation that enters to a palace of a king. How they are welcomed and they are gifted and they are looked after. You see it. The red carpet in the end, it goes on. Allah Azza wa Jal will have the believers like that when they meet Him on the day of resurrection. They will be like that when they enter paradise. They will be served with an entree immediately. And they will be welcomed with greetings. Salamun alaykum. Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. They will be given glad tidings of them receiving the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are all the hadith that I mentioned. They will be given the joy of experiencing the gathering before Allah Azza wa Jal, where they see Him. All this is in preparation for the pious. That's the day which we should really remind ourselves of continuously, my brothers. One of the greatest enemies to any individual, especially the believer, you know what it is? Being unaware. Falling unaware. Forgetting. Because when you forget, you tend to transgress. That's the reality, brother. This is why talking about paradise and hell, you find it's repeated in the Quran. It wasn't limited only to the time of the Meccan period, and that's it. It was repeated frequently and frequently. Why? Because there's a need to remember this. You need to remember that this is the reality. This is the real life. And what you live now in this world is considered to be short-term joy and pleasure, which will come to an end. لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. That's what it is. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَفْدًا. On the day, we shall gather the muttaqoon to the most gracious, إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ. My brothers and sisters, look at the name here that's used, إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ, and reflect over it and ponder. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, on the day when we will gather the muttaqoon to ar-Rahman. Look at the names together. Muttaquna ila ar-Rahman. The pious to the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah has mentioned it here like this. These people who feared Him and loved Him, now they meet Him. That's a moment that we really got to reflect on. The name Ar-Rahman being used here is not used carelessly for no purpose. Reflect, my dear brother, and just repeat this ayah to yourself. You find yourself into meanings that you fail to explain with words. You find yourself short with words to describe that moment. Imagine this, brother. You lived a lifetime of yearning and longing to meet someone. You went through the hardships, the pain. You were hurt. You suffered. But this someone, you know, if that you meet him while he's pleased with you, your success is there. Imagine it, my dear brother, this moment when the people have witness the terror of Judgment Day and witness the moment where people will be begging and asking prophets for the hour to happen, and the sun is near and the sweat is, you know, at different levels with different people. Imagine there's a group now out of all this that is the delegation of Allah. The gathering of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are now honored. They are protected. They are safeguarded. They are people whom Allah is pleased with. That is a real moment. It's hard to really explain the greatness of the blessing of Allah on that individual at that time and place. And we shall drive the mujrimun to hell. The mujrimun, the polytheists, the sinners, criminals, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah. Who are they going to be resurrected, directed to? To hell. Over there, to the most merciful. Over here, to hell. And look at the description given to each. Muttaqi, God-conscious person, pious, criminal. To the standards of Allah, to the description given by Allah, criminal. Mujrim. Ya Allah, what a moment, brothers. What a really difficult moment. He tells us that the mujrimun shall be driven to the hell in a thirsty state, like a thirsty herd driven down to water. They are thirsty and they are desperate, but subhanallah, they are coming in a state where it is filled with misery.
لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا.
None shall have the power of intercession but such a one as has received permission from the Most Gracious. Any none shall have the power of intercession except the one who has received permission from the Most Gracious. Again, Ar-Rahman. Again, Ar-Rahman, repeated. No one can intercede. No one can have the power to intercede except by the permission of Allah. That is absolute control. That's absolute power.
وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدًّا وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا.
After describing that shortly how people will be driven, the pious and the criminals, you find that Allah now comes to the frightening fact about people. He gives us a great crime straight away. In the midst of all these scenes that we have just now reflected on, He directs you now to a type of people whom He has not excluded from their mentioning in this part now. They were people who were mentioned, the description of, or the correct description that should be believed in, the correct belief was described at the beginning. The absolute crime was described during the surah, and now repeated again here. And what is it? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, and they say the Most Gracious, Ar-Rahman, has begotten a son, or offspring, or children. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. That the Most Gracious has begotten a son. He took for himself, and made for himself, a son. اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. He is the father of a child or a born creature. The Christians said this about Allah when they said that Isa is the son of Allah. And they said this, and the Jews said this when they said Uzair ibn Allah. Uzair is the son of Allah. And the Arabs said this, or Greeks and the Arabs said this, by describing that Allah Azza wa Jal took for himself female children. So he's describing here a type of people who will not be excluded. Their crime will be remembered and is mentioned here and will be brought on the day of resurrection in the midst of all these scenes. Their mentioning is going to be declared. And they, the most gracious, and they say that the most gracious has begotten a son. Indeed, you have brought forth a terrible evil thing. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. I recited the ayat before, continuously connected. Why? Wallahi, brothers, if you were to allow yourself and your emotions to be taken by the sound of it, just the sound of it, you can see how Allah Azza wa Jal is really, with the sound of the words, you can see that it's something that's capturing immediately at the scene. So he's telling us, indeed you have brought forth a terrible evil thing. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Response from Allah Azza wa Jal. You brought a terrible thing. Immediately you can feel it here, my dear brothers. When you hear these ayat, you can feel how the heavens and the earth tremble and are shaken, or almost shaken by such words. Allah Azza wa Jal says, whereby the heavens are almost torn and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall into ruins. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. Some powerful words. You can sense with it a response that includes this universe that we live in. That such words that are uttered lightly, they are said carelessly, are a cause why the heavens are almost torn and the earth is split and the mountains fall into ruins. They crumble because of this. SubhanAllah, think of it like that. How this description was given to Allah immediately. He said, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You have brought an evil thing. And then he gives you the response. Tells you the greatness of the crime. The greatness of the words. Words that are uttered and repeated carelessly. That they ascribe a son to the most gracious. And دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا. That they ascribe a son or offspring or children to the most gracious Allah Azza wa Jal. Because of the Allah saying to us that the heavens and the earth and the mountains respond like that. Why? Because of what they are saying. Because of what they are ascribing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Something, Allah, you find yourself in the midst of a surrounding that all declares loyalty and submission and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what I feel, my brothers. What is he left out? The skies, the earth, the mountains are all in that state. Who is that? Yani, imagine this. A person in our times swears at a king in the presence of the king and his soldiers and his men, his bodyguards, and they are raging. And they are all just asking for that permission, let me rid you of them. Let me rid you of them. And this is something small compared and minor, and doesn't even have a significance when it's towards those who deserve to be spoken about like that. It's insignificant compared to when you're speaking to about Allah. This is the greatest of crimes. The greatest of crimes is to speak against your Lord. The greatest of crimes is to rage war against your Lord. The greatest of crimes is to be of those who are careless to their Lord. Of those who are foolish and who are in a state of being deceived before their Lord. Subhanallah. أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا. But it's not suitable for the majesty of the most gracious Ar-Rahman that he should beget a son. It's not suitable for him. Why? He's the king. He's the one who does not need anyone. He's the one who is single. In his names and attributes, in his lordships, in his worship, there is no one equivalent to him. He's unlike anyone. It's not suitable for him that he should have beget a son or offspring or children. In kullu man fi al-samawati wal-ardi illa ati al-Rahmani 'abda. After all this, Allah gives you the facts. He gives you the facts clear, and you will not need it any clearer than this when Allah has said it. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes to the most gracious as a slave. All that which you ascribe besides him will come to us as a slave. Everyone that you saw that he's mighty, he's great, he's powerful, he is close to Allah, he is a slave, and he will come as a slave to Allah. Humble. Humble. Everyone will come to Allah Azza wa Jalla as a slave on the day of resurrection. Even the prophets, even the angels, everyone is going to come to him as a slave on that day. But on that day, it's not really a matter that's going to benefit you to be his slave. Why? Because the test was to be his slave today. The test is to remember him today. On that day, when the realities have become manifest, and paradise and hell are present, and your Lord is above, and he is speaking to his creation, what's the benefit? What's the benefit? إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آت الرحمن عبدا. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes to the most gracious as a slave. Every creature is a slave to Allah. But there is the slavery that is kawniyah, universal, and there is a shar'iyya, which is the one that we are commanded with, and that is it's slavery of obedience and submission and surrender. Yes, even that tyrant, that oppressor, is the slave of Allah, universally. Yes, he's a slave. He is a slave. He's nothing. Even the person who is fighting and raging war against Allah, yes, he's a slave. But Allah is leaving him. Leaving him at that stage. He is giving him that respite. Go ahead. You watch. When the strike comes, it's going to knock you out. It's going to knock you out straight away. You can't harm him. But when he decrees that the harm will befall you, start running. You're not going to run. Where are you going to run? يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا. Assembly of jinn and humans, if you can escape from the boundaries of the heavens and the earth, go ahead. You cannot do so, except with an authority. You can't run. Where are you going to run? Where to? When everything is in his dominion. This is why the one who realizes who he's up against by transgressing and disobeying, he realizes the safest way to run is to surrender and submit. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. So flee to Allah. Allah said, flee, start running. Yes, start running. Flee to Allah. How do you flee to Him? Surrender and submit. You can't run. Your fleeing is to His mercy from His anger. That's your fleeing. To His obedience from disobedience. That's the meaning of fleeing to Allah. After He says to us, that there is nothing in the heavens and the earth but comes to the most gracious as a slave, he tells us here now how acquainted, how well acquainted is he with his creation. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّ. Verily, he knows each one of them and has counted them a full counting. He knows one by one. Creature by creature, every single one of them, no matter how similar they look like, he knows them. One by one, he knows them. Every creature is known by him, and he's counted them. Allahu Akbar. Yani, subhanAllah, brothers, reflect on it. Yani, we have a problem counting a few hundred people. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. He's counted all the creation from the beginning to the end. He knows them one by one. أَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ. He knows each one of them. أَحْصَاهُمْ means he knows each one of them. وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّ. And he's counted them. A full counting. Full. Allahu Akbar.
وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا.
And every one of them will come to him alone on the day of resurrection without any helper or protector or defender. Every one of us shall stand before Allah in front of him. Every one of us. And every person will come to him single, without any supporter. Every person will have Allah Azza wa Jalla addressing him. There is no translator between. Allahu Akbar.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا.
In the midst of all this, gives you a very, very important fact that will be beneficial on that day. You sense it, you see it, you feel it. He's telling you here now, verily those who believe in the oneness of Allah and in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and work deeds of righteousness, the Most Gracious will bestow love for them in the hearts of the believers. Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to make for them love. He's going to make for them and create for them the love, the creation towards that individual. In this life and on the day of resurrection, Allah Azza wa Jalla will be of those who take care of them, who have mercy on them. But this ayah here includes and speaks about a type of people whom Allah Azza wa Jal personally, He took it upon Himself that He will bestow love for them. And they are those who believe and do righteous deeds.
فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا.
So we have made this Quran easy in your own tongue, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only that you may give glad tidings to the muttaqeen and warn with it the lud, the most quarrelsome people. Yani this Quran, Allah has made it easy in your own tongue to give glad tidings to the pious and to give warnings to the quarrelsome, to those who are going against Allah Azza wa Jalla. Here you find this description that's amazing. After speaking about all this paradise and hell and about people coming to Allah as individuals, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, we have made this Quran easy in your tongue to give glad tidings to the muttaqun, the pious, and to warn the quarrelsome people.
وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا.
And how many a generation before them have we destroyed? Can you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, find a single one of them, or hear even a whisper of them? And the surah ends here, leaves you with a silence. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can you hear any of them? Can you sense anything from them? Even a whisper? The answer is no. Where are they? Gone. Destroyed. Allahu Akbar. And this surah, the way it begins, it's incredible. The way it continues, it's incredible. And it ends with such great eloquence and such great messages that wallahi, it's worthy of every single second we spend to learn it. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to have this all in our scales, to forgive me for my shortcomings. I remind you, I am not safeguarded, my brothers and sisters. I unintentionally would have said wrong things. If it's proven to be wrong, I tell you that I'm not safeguarded, and throw my words against the wall wherever it's proven to be wrong, and give me the benefit of the doubt. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who read the Quran and establish its rulings, to make us of those who benefit with the Quran. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal not to make us of those who establish its letters and perfect its letters, but do not perfect its ruling and do not establish its ruling. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it a guide for us into paradise and a protection for us from the hellfire. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make this Quran its guide, a guide to us from every confusion, from every doubt that we go through, to make it light for us and not to make it a witness against us. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to establish His rulings and to make us of those who are blessed with the blessing of being of those who serve His religion and do it sincerely. Jazakum Allahu Khairan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to gift you to live Ramadan and to witness Ramadan. So we'll stop here and we'll see you inshallah after, if it's meant to be. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.